Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The General Theory of Employment. Interest and Money is John Maynard Keynes' landmark 1936 work on macroeconomic theory, and this edition links it with The Economic Consequences of the Peace, a related classic that helps frame Keynes' broader critique of economic policy and instability. The book is not a practical manual or a narrative account, but a dense theoretical argument about why market economies can fail to produce full employment on their own. Keynes wrote in response to the Great Depression and to the limits of classical economics, aiming to explain persistent unemployment, weak investment, and recurring downturns. Its purpose is both analytical and political, to redefine how economists think about demand, interest, savings, investment, and the role of government in stabilizing the economy. Because of its influence, the book became a foundation for Keynesian economics and modern macroeconomic debate. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why aggregate demand, not supply alone, determines employment. Keynes' central break with classical economics is his claim that total output and employment are driven primarily by aggregate demand. In the classical view, flexible wages and prices should push the economy back toward full employment automatically. Keynes argues that this adjustment often does not happen, especially during recessions when households and firms cut spending at the same time. As demand falls, businesses reduce production and hiring, which then weakens incomes further and deepens the slump. This creates a self-reinforcing cycle rather than a self-correcting one. The importance of this idea is that unemployment is no longer treated as a temporary distortion caused only by wages being too high. Instead, it becomes a structural outcome of insufficient spending. That shift matters because it changes the policy question from how do we wait for markets to heal, to how do we restore demand quickly enough to prevent prolonged job losses. Secondly, the consumption function and the logic of spending out of income. One of the book's most important contributions is the consumption function, which describes how household spending tends to rise as income rises, but not necessarily by the full amount of that income increase. This simple relationship helps explain why economies do not automatically generate enough demand to sustain full employment. If people save part of additional income, then total spending grows more slowly than output, unless investment or government demand fills the gap. Keynes uses this idea to show that the overall level of activity depends on the pattern of spending across households, firms, and the state, not on production capacity alone. The concept is powerful because it links everyday behavior to macroeconomic outcomes. It also explains why falling incomes during a recession can cause consumers to reduce purchases, which then feeds back into lower business revenues and weaker hiring. In this way, the consumption function becomes a bridge between individual decisions and economy-wide instability. Thirdly, liquidity preference and Keynes' theory of interest rates. Keynes rethinks interest rates by arguing that they are shaped by liquidity preference, meaning the demand to hold money rather than lend it. This is a major departure from theories that treat interest as determined simply by the supply of savings. In Keynes' view, people hold money for transactions, precaution, and speculation, and their desire for liquidity changes with expectations about the future and with confidence in financial markets. When uncertainty rises, people may prefer cash over long-term assets, which can keep interest rates from falling enough to stimulate investment. This insight matters because it shows that monetary conditions depend on psychology and financial behavior, not only on the amount of money a central bank provides. The theory also helps explain why lowering rates does not always revive investment quickly. If businesses remain pessimistic, or if investors expect instability, cheap credit may not translate into real expansion. Keynes therefore ties finance, uncertainty, and output together in a way that classical theory did not. Fourthly, investment, animal spirits, and the instability of capitalist expectations. The book gives investment a central role in determining output, employment, and cyclical movement. Keynes argues that investment is not governed only by mechanical calculations of savings and interest rates, but also by expectations about future profitability. He describes these expectations as shaped by animal spirits, a term that captures confidence, fear, optimism, and other unstable motives affecting decision-making. This is one reason markets can experience booms and busts when expectations are strong, firms expand, hire, and borrow. When confidence collapses, investment contracts sharply, and the wider economy suffers. Keynes' analysis is important because it explains volatility without assuming that markets are irrational in a simple sense. Instead, he shows that even thoughtful decision-makers must act under uncertainty, where the future cannot be known precisely. That makes investment a fragile link in the economic system. The result is a theory of capitalist instability in which swings in private expectations can create large shifts in national income and employment. Lastly, government policy as a stabilizer during recessions and mass unemployment. A major implication of the book is that governments should actively manage demand through fiscal and monetary policy when private spending is too weak. Keynes argues that in a deep downturn, public spending can support employment directly and raise income indirectly through the multiplier effect, which means one round of spending generates further rounds of consumption and production. This idea justified deficit spending in recessions and became highly influential in 20th century policy debates. The practical significance is that Keynes rejects the view that balanced budgets and non-intervention are always the safest choices. Instead, he treats state action as a necessary counterweight to private sector volatility. This does not mean he endorses unlimited government planning, but it does mean he sees macroeconomic stabilization as a legitimate public responsibility. The book is therefore not only a theory of how economies work, but also a theory of when political action is required to prevent prolonged unemployment, wasted capacity, and social damage. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want to understand the intellectual foundation of modern macroeconomics, especially students, economists, policymakers, and informed general readers interested in public finance and recession management. It is also valuable for anyone trying to understand why debates over stimulus, interest rates, unemployment, and government deficits still revolve around Keynes ideas. The main benefit of reading it is not that it offers easy formulas, but that it changes how economic problems are framed from assuming markets self-correct to asking how aggregate demand, expectations, and policy interact. Compared with shorter introductions to Keynesian economics, the book stands out for being the original source of the concepts that later economics textbooks summarize. It is historically decisive, conceptually rich, and still relevant in periods of economic crisis. This edition is especially notable because pairing the general theory with the economic consequences of the piece places Keynes' macroeconomic arguments within his wider critique of policy failure, making the work more intelligible as both theory and intervention. If you would like to support John Maynard Keynes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.